Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's continue our discussion on the foundations for life today by reading from the book of Psalms, chapter 62. I'll begin to read from verse 5. I have quite a long length to read, so please try and follow me very closely. David wrote, he said, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." He said in verse 9, "Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie." That is, whether they are high people or small people, they are all the same thing, nothing. "In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than breath." Now he said, verse 10, "Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery." That is, getting things by violence. He said, "If you do these things and riches increase, do not set your heart upon them." As for me, that is me that's not going through all these things. Verse 11, he says, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and loving kindness is thine, O God, for thou dost recompense a man according to his work." Now, David has spoken these verses so beautifully, and it's just appropriate for us to use it to describe what I'm talking about today concerning this foundation for life thing. Today, I want to talk about waiting for God. Now, what does it mean to wait for God? Now, I said something last time, and I want to pick up from there, that waiting for God is something that every child of God must learn. The ability to wait for God is one of the greatest trials that we are going to have in life. Remember, I said something the other time. We began to read from the book of Luke talking about laying a foundation for life. And I said something, let me say it again. Your life is not an accident. God knew you. God spoke a word, a purpose, a thought, something he intended to do. When he spoke it, your flesh was formed. So he said to Jeremiah, "Before you were conceived, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet." That is, Jeremiah, you exist because I needed a prophet. And that's why I allowed you to be formed. Therefore, the time came in which he called Jeremiah and said, "Now go forth and manifest prophecy for me." And that's how life is. It's not everybody that God will call as a prophet like that. The other people he calls, he said, "Look, you'll be a motor mechanic." And I'm serious about that. Because a lot of times in life, we misunderstand the purpose of God. And we equate certain traits with poverty and some with prosperity. There's nothing like that. God can bless a man no matter what he does. One of my best examples is Otumba Gaddafi in Lagos, who says shit business is serious business. The man has become a multi-millionaire doing shit business. What does it mean? He packs pit latrine. Now, when I was a child, we were taught that if you don't read your book, we have songs like that in school, that if you don't read your book, you will become a shit carrier. That is one packing latrine. But now, so as we were growing up, we were taught that the people who read their books and became very good were never something like that. But this was a man who, using the same principles, get my point, the same business that all of us were taught as children, don't ever do it, it's only for failures. The man has made it into a successful multi-million naira business. He's now a business consultant and a personal trainer. Because he said shit business is serious business. Get what I'm trying to explain? So you see, you don't have to be a prophet, okay, to become somebody prominent for God. God can call you to be anything. I said this because I made an example. I said God can call you to become a motor mechanic. I was watching TV the other day, and a man was being interviewed. This man is a hairdresser, and he's a celebratory hairdresser. And he explained something. Of course, he went to school. He has a BSc. He said a lot of people will come into his salon. And one of the things that he had to deal with was to sometimes get people to respect him. He said he shows them respect, but he demands respect from them. And one of the things he does is to explain to them, "Look, I have this same degree that you have, but I'm doing what I love." And he has done it until he has become successful in it. That's how come I was watching him on TV. Now, get what I'm trying to explain. God has called you. The fact that you are not a prophet, a pastor, does not mean God has not called you. In fact, somebody asked me a question the other day. He said, "Excuse me, sir, I want to see you." I said, "Okay, go ahead. What's the issue?" He said, in fact, before she finished with the question, the answer was out of my mouth. He said, "Does ministry have to be in church?" I said, "No, it does not have to be." Every child of God is called to do ministry. Every single child of God. There are people who are called to be simply, believe me, cooks. God put a calling upon them to cook. And God has ordained that they will be very good in making the heart of men glad. There are people that God called and said, "Look, you go and be like Bezalel, who I put a spirit in him that made him very good as a craftsman. I want you to go and craft clothing for men. No, get what I'm going to explain. So I'm bringing out something here that God has called each one of us. There was a word that he spoke, and there is nothing that God is not concerned about. Let me just say that again. God made the flowers of the field, and Jesus said something that God takes more care to dress a flower that lasts only 24 hours. He spends more care dressing that flower than Solomon spent dressing himself. So it's important to God, therefore, that the flower looks beautiful. If it is important to God that the flower looks beautiful, would it not be important to God that human beings also look beautiful? And will God therefore not call people to make them look beautiful? Do you follow my point? God cares about everything. There are people, listen to me, there are times that, you know, the other day I was talking about something with my friend. I said, there are people I pray for that, God, please don't let them die. Otherwise, my car will not work well. Because not everybody can handle some issues. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? There are people that your heart reaches for. Look, listen, God has a calling for your life. Don't ever despise that which you are doing. I said all of this because when I was going to answer the question for that lady. It's a minister. I said, it doesn't have to be in church. Not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody is a pastor. I see this in a lot of times. People become very successful in what they are doing, and then to show that they are serious, they go to Bible training and want to become a part-time pastor. Listen, the people where God called you to, they need you more than that church needs you. God has called some as apostles, as prophets, as evangelists, as pastors and teachers. Not everybody. He says some. Read Ephesians chapter 4. Some. Sometimes I sit down and see some people there, they are pastors. I say, look, listen, do you know what it means to be a pastor? It's not a title. It's not something to, you see, it's this day that we have glorified it. A pastor is a respectable person. Do you get my point? It was not always like that. So please, then don't run after the thing that is not your own. If you are not a Bible teacher, don't try to be one. You can be a primary school teacher. In the eyes of God, you are as important as the pastor of your church. Get that point very clear. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? And that, like we tell ourselves sometimes, you say, nah, politics is dirty business. Listen to me, there are people who are called by God to be politicians. Listen, that's a matter of fact. God doesn't like nonsense. Therefore, the Bible said that when he looked and there was injustice upon the earth, that it displeased him. Therefore, his own hand brought salvation unto him. What did he prepare? He prepared a man to bring justice. There are people who are listening to me, they are called to be policemen, because policemen in Nigeria today don't have a very good reputation. You are afraid. Listen to me, God needs you to go and give them a good reputation. There are those that God called to be firefighters. They virtually don't exist in Nigeria. All we do is sit down in Nigeria and be watching television, watching CNN, seeing what miracles firefighters have performed in America. We need them also in Nigeria. Everybody has a calling. I know I've digressed a bit, trying to emphasize something into our hearts, that we all have callings. Do you get my point? God knew you. God created you to be successful. One of the reasons why we don't succeed in life is because we are running other people's races. You have gone to pastor the branch of a church. You don't have any calling. God said, look at you. You are a university teacher. You. But no, they have given you a branch. Now you are very happy. They are calling you pastor. You have stuck the title on your car, missionary. Nobody called you to ministry of the word of God. Are you getting my point? God will take more glory from your life if you sit down and teach physics and write textbooks on physics. Not that every time Nigeria wants to read, they must read Nelcon and Abbott. There are people with the understanding to drive physics into the heads of children who are going for WASC every day. But they have given you a title, pastor, missionary. And you are going about struggling. Nothing is moving. Anytime they say it's Sunday, you are afraid. What are you going to say? God said, listen, my friend, forget it. Go to that church and be a church member. Just bring your offering to church. That's all you need in that church. Coach the young people. Encourage them. Then go back to work on Monday and write a book on chemistry. Go back to work on Monday. Write your book on physics. Go to back to work on Monday and write a cookery book. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make here? Listen, my friend, everybody has a calling. And not everybody is an evangelist, a pastor, a prophet, an apostle. Look, listen, my personal persuasion is that they are less than 10% of the number of children of God that exist. Listen, let's all mind our calling. Now, let me get back to my main message. I believe that we will help a person or two out there listening to me tonight. Now, my main message is this. That you see, until that time, all right, what you must learn as a child of God is to wait for him. And that's a very important thing. And one thing about, when I'm talking about waiting, because I said God created you for prominence. When God was going to preserve a nation and make them prosper in a strange land, that's the nation of Israel, before they went there, he sent a man ahead of them. He said in the book of Psalms 105, he said he sent a man ahead of them. That is Joseph. Before those people could prosper in that land, it was because God sent a man ahead of them. Now, Joseph functioned in his full calling when he was appointed as prime minister in the land of Egypt. And that happened when Pharaoh dreamt a strange dream, and he knew there had to be an interpretation. And none of his magicians and his conjurers, all the mystics he had in the land, none of them could decode that dream. Therefore, God now sent him Joseph, who had encountered, listen, one of his ministers when that man was under investigation and he was in jail. Are you getting my point? That was when that man encountered Joseph. Do you follow my point? Now, this man, just by the way, the man forgot Joseph for about 2 years until Pharaoh dreamt this dream. But this is the point. They now sent for Joseph, and Joseph appeared. And Joseph gave interpretation of the dream, and beyond giving interpretation to that dream, he gave a solution to the interpretation. That is, the interpretation is that calamity is going to come. Then his spirit inside him arose with solution, and he gave that to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, all right, if you are so good in interpreting and I'm preferring a solution, who will be better in executing the solution that you have preferred? Therefore, he appointed him as a ruler in Egypt. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Now, that was how Joseph was prepared to do his full ministry. His full ministry involved preserving the land of Egypt. It involved making Pharaoh very rich. And most importantly, it involved settling the people of Israel in a comfortable land. Now, notice this. What could Joseph do to make himself prime minister? Nothing. He could not even pray about it. The dream he dreamt as a young boy, he did not even understand the interpretation to that level. Please get my point. What happened was that the time came, like the Bible says in Psalm 105, that his word came to pass. The word that gave that guy birth, the word with which God formed a body for him, the time came for the manifestation of that word. And then he suddenly went into his glory, that he might fully perform his function on the earth. There is a time that will come also in which you will step into your glory and you will fully perform your function on the earth. One of the people I like to tell the story again and again is Ron Kenoly. Ron Kenoly, again, I believe very strongly, was called to teach praise and worship to the body of Christ. Many songs we sing these days, I will come into your presence, Lord. They were written by Ron Kenoly. Many songs, whose report do you believe? Many songs that has blessed the soul of the body of Christ. All right? If you can use anything, use me, Lord. All those songs written by this man and sung by him that the whole world is listening to and playing and singing in praise and worship in churches till today. All right? God called him to sing those songs. He wanted to sing it, but nobody gave him a door. Are you following me? And then he used to sing in the church where he was a music leader. And then one day, one of the directors of Hosanna Music walked into the service and said, oh, I heard your song today. It was such a beautiful song. I wanted to pray about recording an album with us. And then he went, they recorded the first album titled Jesus is Alive. Then they recorded the second album titled Lift Him Up. And Lift Him Up, when it was released, it became the best-selling praise and worship music ever produced on the surface of the earth at that time. Listen to what I'm going to explain. That was the time that his word came. God had a word concerning his life. But before that time, the Bible said that the word of the Lord tested him. Are you following my point? There are days, all right, there are different times for people's manifestations. I was listening to the story of a woman who owns a carpentry business in Lagos, of how she spoke, and she explained that for the first few years after she was doing her business, she liked the business she was doing. She started it shortly after her youth service. For many years, she did not make any money. But one time came in which she did a job for a bank and she did not really make much money from it. But when they were doing a launching, they invited her as one of their big contractors and was introduced publicly as the person who did all the carpentry work for them. Suddenly everybody said, wow, somebody in this place did this? Are you getting my point? That's how cards started flowing. Government ministers, head of big businesses, all kinds of people started calling her. And that was it. Suddenly she broke into her own glory. The time that her word came. Do you follow the point I am making? T.D. Jakes, another example I like to use, known all over the world, can gather multitudes all over the world. What happened that his word came? Two things. Number one, he wanted to help people. Instead of counseling one woman after the other, he gathered all the women and said, let me just do all this counseling at the go. The women kept on increasing in number because he was preaching truths that they'd never understood and nobody was preaching. After a while, he became very famous for it, at least in his own region and in America there. And then one day, he went to preach for his friend Carlton Pearson. And Carlton Pearson put the program in which he preached on TV. And he had four preachers. Each preacher he put on for a 30-minute program on TV. He put each preacher on TV for 7 minutes. The 7 minutes that T.D. Jakes was preaching, Paul Crouch, the founder of TBN Family, the network, TBN Network, walked in and there were issues on his mind at that particular point in time. Do you follow the point? So he sat down and T.D. Jakes, in the few minutes he watched him, spoke directly to him on that TV screen, answering all the questions in his heart, And so they said, no, this man must be on this international network. And that was it. That's how T.D. Jakes came onto TBN network. And that's how his international fame spread. Now his word is blessing people in every corner of the world. And the last mega fest he organized was in South Africa. Are you getting my point? That was the time that his word came to pass. Until all these people's words came to pass, the word of the Lord tested them. And bring that an issue. Everybody had to wait for the manifestation of God. One of the problems we have, I said it last time, I'm saying it again, is that we don't know how to wait. And that's what I'm trying to teach. It is important that believers know how to wait. You cannot wait except you have faith. What do I mean by having faith? You must trust that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And let me preach that to you again tonight. God indeed is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you wait for God, he will never fail. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 49 in verse 23, he said, and you will know that I am the Lord, and those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. It is not possible for you to properly wait for God and be put to shame. The problem is that a lot of people who think are waiting for God were not waiting. They were doing nothing. They were hopeless. They were not relying on God. They were probably lazy. They were not really waiting. Those who really wait for God, and I'll explain that, because waiting for God is a very active thing. Sometimes it's a difficult thing. In fact, let me withdraw the word sometimes. It's actually a very difficult thing. For you to sit down and wait for God is hard. It's a process you must learn. And I'm trying to teach it. You must learn to wait for God. Sometimes people will call you a fool. You must wait for God. Sometimes people will show you open doors for sharp ones. You must wait for God. Sometimes, listen, because it's very easy to know the ones that are open doors for sharp ones. You get my point? The doors of Satan. People will tell you, break your conscience. Go apply for a visa. Say you are married. When you are not married, go and put money, all right, in your account so as to swell it up and impress the people in the embassy so that you can go abroad and go and hustle. You know that you have departed from the waiting season. He said your strength is learning to wait. Your strength is to sit still. If you don't learn that strength, listen, my friend, you will be frustrated. A lot of people are very frustrated. I have seen people say, okay, money's in Lagos. They go to Lagos, all they meet is frustration. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. You see people who go to Lagos and they get blessed. You see people who go to Lagos, who went abroad and they got blessed. That doesn't mean that you will go to Lagos and you will be blessed. Do you follow my point? One of the things I have found out again in this life is all this copycat attitude of people. If somebody is doing ministry a particular way, everybody wants to do ministry that way. If you hear T.D. Jakes preaching and he's making success, you want to preach like T.D. Jakes. Listen to me. You are not T.D. Jakes. You don't have to sound like him. Listen to me. One of the things that disappoints me a lot is when people tell me that, oh, you sound like this person, as if I am copying that person. Because one thing I made up my mind I must do in life is sound only like one person. And that person's name is Banky. Listen, I listen to many people. If I start, in fact, you have heard me, I quote many people because I listen to all of them, but I don't want to be any one of them. I want to be me. Before me, there was no me. God created me. Like T.L. Osborne said, I am the best me that God ever made. Any other thing, I will be second place. Are you following the point I'm making? Listen, this is the truth about life. You are the best you that God ever made. Stop copying other people. You see a man around to Australia and succeeded. You want to go to Australia. Listen to me. Go to Australia. There are beggars there. One of the greatest shocks of my life was when I saw a naked woman, a mad woman on the streets of Houston, Texas. I couldn't believe it. I thought I was somewhere in Enugu. Listen, there are crazy people everywhere. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, no. There's no success anywhere. Chasing people up and down doesn't guarantee anything. There are people who started home sell, because of Yonggi-cho in South Korea. At the end of the day, it was armed robbers, their own home sale brought into homes. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Listen, you don't have to be somebody else. Listen, I'm bringing up something here. One of the hardest things to do is to wait for God. In the period of waiting, all right, you have to be able to close your eyes to the progress of other people. Let me explain the principle to you so that it will help you very well. I like to do this comparison so that people will stop trying to be somebody else. There are two people I'm going to use as examples, Joseph and Moses. The age at which Joseph entered the palace and became a prime minister was the age of 30. Listen, at the age of 40 was when Moses left the same palace to enter the wilderness. That same palace. Both of them are important people before God whose lives we still refer to till today. Are you getting my point? As examples on how to walk with God into success. One man at the age of 30 was a big man. One man at the age of 40 was converted from being a big man to a small man. But eventually, at the age of 80, Moses returned and became more honored amongst the Jews till today than even Joseph. Another good example, Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, they were cousins. Remember, when the angel went to visit Mary, he explained to him that your cousin Elizabeth is already in her 6th month of pregnancy. They were relatives. Yet, John the Baptist, the Bible says, was filled with the Holy Spirit from the mother's womb. Jesus never saw the Holy Spirit until he was 30 years of age. And that same John the Baptist, a cousin of him, was the one that baptized him so that the Holy Spirit would not come upon him afterwards. I've always said something. People say that your mate. I say, I don't have any mate in life. I am the only person. Your mates are building houses. I said, how many of them are teaching the way of success? That's my favorite quote these days. Your mates are in America earning $25 million a year. How many of them have thousands of people tuning into them twice a week to hear the word of God? Everybody has an assignment. If your assignment is to go and build house, and I don't know the crazy about this house building thing. People work money afternoon and night just to erect a house so that they will hardly live in. Listen, the house I will live in tomorrow is being built today. The one I'm living in today, I don't know when the landlord built it years ago. Are you getting my point? God will bless me in my season. He said, seek the Lord. Do you follow my point? And wait for him. I'm teaching something about waiting for God. Don't let people distract you and start doing things that are not your calling in life. Are you following my point? John the Baptist was manifesting the Holy Spirit as a child. Jesus didn't come near it. But do you want to compare them at the end of their days? By the time Jesus started, that was when John the Baptist was dying. John the Baptist walked for years. Jesus walked for only 3.5 years and then died and saved the whole of mankind. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. I told you that waiting is a difficult thing. Because in the waiting period, that is when people will sit down and be telling, look at your friend, look at your cousin, look at your mate, look at this. Christmas is coming now. Everybody's afraid to go to the village. Because people have come from all kinds of places. You know they are going to come to intimidate you. Listen to me. I thank God he taught me how never to be intimidated. I celebrate and I still do it all the time. I celebrate other people's successes. But I realize that I'm running my own race. Their own milestones are not my milestones. I don't know how many miles they have to go from where they are to where they are supposed to be. I don't know how many miles I have to go anyway. Also, but one thing I am sure is that we are not running on the same road. If the milestone of his success is buy a big car, maybe good for him. The milestone of my success may be write a new book. And I thank God that I'm writing them. The milestone for my success will be distribute 1,000 different messages. And I thank God we are heading for that. The milestone for my success may be to preach on radio, preach on TV. Those are my own milestones. It's not anybody else's milestone. If somebody else's milestone is build a house, let him build it. May God bless him. If I have money, I will contribute to it for him. It is not my milestone. Somebody else's milestone is saying, your mates will not have children. That is their problem. It doesn't concern you. God didn't call you at the same time. The children of Moses, you don't know them. Listen to me. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. It just means you don't know them. That is all. But you know Moses. So forget. Let nobody put you in a rat race. You're not running with anybody. Learn to wait for God. Those are the things that distract people from the real things that God wants to do in their lives. Are you getting my point? Look, listen, I like one thing Mike Murdock said, that the callings of God are geographical. There's one of the most respected black men today now, apparently, on this, especially amongst white people, is Sunday Adelaja, who pastors in Ukraine, who has a church of about 20,000 people, who the president of the country was a member of, and I think he is still a member of his church. Are you getting my point? Now, he's a well-celebrated person. Listen to what I'm going to explain here. God moved him to Ukraine. Look, listen, when nobody would have wanted to go to a communist country, I heard a story. My pastor was telling the story that day in church. And when I heard the story, I said, hey, obviously, listen, this man did not plan the things that happened to him. He didn't plan it. Because when he left the country, I heard that he was just a young believer. He went on scholarship. He's such a well-known person now, highly respected in the world. But listen to me, does it mean I want to go and pastor amongst white people? No, not at all. Everybody's calling is geographical. God leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He led that man in the path of righteousness to where he is right now. Please, may God focus your eyes on that which is yours alone. You know what he said in the Songs of Solomon? Why am I this color? He said, my brothers, listen, made me keep their vineyards. My own vineyard I have not kept. Many people have ended their lives keeping vineyards for other people, vineyards that God did not send them to keep. There is a time of learning and training in which you keep vineyards for other people, in which Jacob will serve Laban. But a time came in which Jacob said to Laban, I have to return and provide an inheritance for my household also. Stop running other people's races. Learn to wait for God. That is the point I'm making. And I'm discussing the fact that this is a major reason why people can't wait for God. They are so busy running the race for somebody else. Waiting can be difficult. I was trying to explain, and I'll continue next time because my time is almost up, that waiting can be tough. Yes, it can be. But you can't wait except you realize something, that God does not fail. God cannot fail. The Bible says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have a firm assurance. Do you get my point? God cannot fail. If you wait for him, you will never be put to shame. One of the things I prayed to God for long ago, and one thing you have to understand about Psalms, when you read a prayer in the book of Psalms, listen, please hear me clearly. You can pray the prayer, but know something. Jesus prayed those prayers and they have been answered. And your life is a manifestation of the answer in the books of Psalms. I'm going to have something. One of the prayers I pray, all right, with David, then, and I believe it's been answered. Because Jesus prayed those prayers. Those are prophetic prayers. And that's the prayer. He said, let not those who wait upon you be put to shame. I prayed, I said, God, one thing that will never happen is that people will look at my life and say, when you were doing this thing, we told you. I said, God, in the end of my days, it will never happen. It will never happen that I will be a failure and other men will be successes. Because I was waiting on you. I said, Lord, it will never happen that my children will beg bread. Because I was waiting on you. I said, Lord, if you want, listen. I will obey you. Please pour the spirit of the obedient child and the obedient servant into me. But it will never happen that the Lord did not come through. My life will never be an example of those who waited for God and failed. My life will be, I will wait for him 40 years in the wilderness. I will, because it is important that I'm a reference point that this man waited for God and he was blessed. That this man waited for God and God showed forth his glory upon his life. I am an example for other people to follow. Please, because of time, I'm going to end it. But please, know something for sure. I will come back to that psalm that we read. All right, next time. Please, don't miss the next episode. Know one thing for sure. If you will wait for God, he will never disappoint you. If everybody is running up and down and you say, God, because of you, I will wait. My life will be an example of victory that comes through patience, patiently waiting for God. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.